As we search the scriptures about praise and worship, about the beautiful balance of spirit and truth, I can't help but be drawn to the Old Testament tabernacle, where God told Moses and the Israelites to place three items in the Ark of the Covenant. Number one, the tablets of the law, which meant the word of God. Number two, the golden pot of manna. And number three, Aaron's staff. There's so much significance here, but just the fact that along with the word of God comes two beautiful items, the golden pot of manna and Aaron's staff, gold and wood. What a great combination. And one of the significance that I love about that is the balance of how God Almighty sent his son Jesus Christ from heaven to earth. And when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he was literally 100% God, but yet 100% man. Kind of that wood represents man. That gold represents the royalty of God. And it kind of reminds me about Jesus Christ. He was fully God and fully man. And I look at it, how beautiful that picture is. He's wood enough to be related to us, but he's gold enough to redeem us. He's wood enough to be tempted, but he's gold enough to be perfect and resist temptation. He's wood enough to weep at the tomb of Lazarus, but he's gold enough to raise him from the dead. He's wood enough to bleed when the soldiers whipped him, but he's gold enough to love them. He's wood enough to die, but he's gold enough to rise again. He's wood enough to identify with your pain and mine, but he's gold enough to heal it. He's wood enough to identify with my hurt, but he's gold enough to take me in his arms and comfort me. Yeah, that is the result of what happens when divinity and humanity come together.
Welcome to Rising Higher, the radio ministry sponsored by Fortress Church in San Antonio, Texas. We are located at 7760 Prue Road, between Bandera Road and Babcock Road. We meet for worship on Sundays at 9:15 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. We invite you to visit our website at www.fortresschurch.org. At Fortress Church, we are all about loving God and loving people. Join us here on KDRI every Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. and on Saturday mornings at 8:30 a.m. And now, here's your host for Rising Higher, Pastor Randy Garcia.
Well, thank you for tuning in this fine Monday afternoon. Thank you for inviting me and my hoarse voice along with you. Well, I've had a hoarse voice for a little bit more than a week now. Thank you for putting up with me. And we're going to get through this because we're talking on the topic about worship in spirit and in truth. In all actuality, you know, you don't need a great voice. And today I don't have my regular voice. I don't even have a great voice to begin with. But I can barely talk, and I can't sing at all, but that kind of proves the point. I have a feeling that maybe now that I'm teaching on this topic in spirit and in truth, I have a feeling that God kind of allowed me to develop a hoarse voice, because really the point of worship is not having a voice to sing. It's really having a heart that loves God Almighty, and that's what we've been talking about. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. Now, one of the things we've been talking about during this sermon series, In Spirit and in Truth, is a beautiful correlation between the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures, and how they come together to lead us to a place so that we can understand what true worship is all about today. And today, and I don't know how long we're going to take, maybe today and tomorrow, maybe even through Wednesday and Thursday, let's see how it goes, okay? I'm going to be talking about the Old Testament tent of meeting, tabernacle. And God instructed Moses in the book of Exodus to construct a tabernacle. And some of you may be thinking, what in the world does that have to do with in spirit and in truth? It has everything to do with in spirit and in truth. Why in the world would God ask Moses and the Israelites to build a tabernacle? Well, the truth of the matter is God wanted his people to construct a place where he could meet with them, and relationship can happen, and worship can happen. This is what the tabernacle was all about. Today, there are tabernacles, there are temples, there are churches where people come together and they worship the Lord God Almighty. Well, back as we read in the book of Exodus, there was a distinct purpose. And God didn't say just build any old building. No. God took a few chapters of the book of Exodus to describe the way the tabernacle is to be built and the furnishings it is to have. Why? Because God has a specific way of challenging you and I to worship Him. Remember, we don't worship the Lord the way we want to worship the Lord. We should worship the Lord the way God instructs us to worship the Lord. So as we look at the Old Testament tabernacle, in fact, if you have your Bibles and want to follow along, I want to read from Exodus chapter 40. And we'll just do a few highlights, but I want us to understand the beautiful pictures of the tabernacle and how it applies to your worship relationship with the Lord today. Exodus chapter 40, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Now, let me stop right there. In many scriptures, the tabernacle is referred to in many versions of the Bible as a tent of meeting. I really love that translation because tent is a symbol of something that is set up temporarily, right? You go out camping, you set up a tent, and you're there for a day or two. Then you pack up the tent and you go back home. A tent represents a temporary abode. That's what God wanted Moses and his people to set up, a temporary abode. Why? Because your permanent abode is in heaven. That's permanent. You don't need a tent in heaven. You're going to need a permanent place to be. But while we are here on this earth, we have a tent of meeting. And once again, the first part of that definition of tabernacle, tent is temporary, meeting a place where we can meet up with God. Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the month. Place the Ark of the Testimony, another word for that is Ark of the Covenant, in it, and shield the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Testimony and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Verse 6. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place a basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Verse 9. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and its furnishings, and it will be holy. So as we look at the picture that God gives us of the Old Testament tabernacle, I want us to understand what God was setting into motion. What was God setting into motion? A relationship with you and I that involves worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. You see, the tabernacle was a place where humanity and divinity come together. What do I mean by that? The humanity of us building and constructing a certain place to have worship, and divinity where we welcome the Spirit of God to come from heaven to earth. So the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, is a place where humanity and divinity come together. Secondly, the tabernacle is a place where we bring our sacrificial gifts. We read all throughout the book of Exodus, as God instructs Moses and his people, you are to come and bring your sacrificial offerings to the Lord. And now, here's a cool thing. The main thing that the goal of the tabernacle is this, to experience the glory of God. And we're going to read later today and tomorrow the beautiful picture of the glory of God that comes from heaven to earth when we do things according to the way God wants them to be done. And so what is the significance of worship? We see these beautiful pictures all over the instructions that God gives Moses about building the tabernacle. So let's take a look at this. First, you have three portions of the tabernacle. You have the outer court, you have the inner court, and you have the Holy of Holies. What is the significance of each? I want to walk through them. The outer court is, of course, has two pieces of furniture, the brazen altar and the brazen laver. Brazen or bronze is another word. Brazen is another word for bronze. Some of your Bibles may read brazen. Others of your Bibles and the versions may say bronze. I like to refer to it as the brazen altar. That's on the outside, the outer court of the tabernacle. Now, what is the significance of the brazen altar? Think about this. An altar is a place where we come and meet with God. An altar is also a place where the bride and groom come together at a sacred place to meet with God and make their vows before the Lord. How many times have you heard that phrase? Well, I'm going to the altar. What does that mean? Well, that means you're getting married, right? Well, this is what God wants. God wants you and I to come to the altar because that represents where you, as the bride of Christ, comes to meet him as a bridegroom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the brazen altar is a place where we meet with the Lord. The brazen altar is also a foreshadow of the cross. You see, the cross was a place of where Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, hung and gave his life for you and I. It was a place of wood, a tree that hung there. That was an altar where the sacrificial lamb was lifted up unto the Lord. Kind of like what the Old Testament Israelites used to do. When they went to worship, they would bring their sacrificial lamb. God gave them instructions that the lamb that they were to bring into the worship to be sacrificed would not just be any ordinary lamb. It would be the best of the best, one without spot or wrinkle. And they would sacrifice that lamb for the forgiveness of their sins. But aren't you glad that on that day, about 2,000 years ago or so, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven to earth to give his life on the cross of Calvary, and he became our sacrificial lamb once and for all. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Wow, what a beautiful picture. A beautiful act of worship unto the Lord. So the brazen altar was a place that we remember the cross. Every time we enter into the presence of God, the first place we need to remember is the cross. What did Jesus Christ do for me on the cross of Calvary? I want to thank you for tuning in. Now, we're going to take a quick break. We're just getting started here because there are beautiful symbols, beautiful pictures of worship in spirit and in truth as we look at the Old Testament instructions that God gives to Moses to build a tabernacle. And I'm referring that to that as a tent of meeting. And once we understand the way God instructed Moses and his people to construct the tabernacle, we're going to see the beauty of what God wants to build in your temple. All right. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. Thank you for letting me and my hoarse voice join along with you this Monday afternoon. Hopefully I'll be feeling better quite soon. But it doesn't stop me from speaking the word of God. Just don't get too close to that radio. And I'm teasing, okay? We'll be right back. Today we're studying the beauty of in spirit and in truth as depicted in the Old Testament tent of meeting. You're listening to Rising Higher, brought to you by Fortress Church. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher.
Hey parents, I know that it's hard talking to your teenagers about tough issues in life and intentionally discipling them in the ways of the Lord. As a youth pastor, I've heard story after story of rebellious teenagers who are selfish and lack communication and respect. But I've also seen some parents who can learn to grow in patience, humility, and resolving family conflict. This is why we're hosting an event called Come Together. Come Together is an event for parents and teenagers to come together and talk about important issues in the family. The presentations will cover issues like social media, family legacy, sex, drugs, reading the Bible, and redeeming relationships with the hope of Jesus. This event aims to help families talk about growing in a relationship with Jesus together while navigating the tough waters of culture, relationships, and family conflict. It's happening Saturday, May 4th at Fortress Church from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and the tickets are just $10, which includes your lunch and workbook. You can register your family at fortresschurch.org/events for the Come Together event on Saturday, May 4th at Fortress Church from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, that's fortresschurch.org/events. Together, we can influence our amazing teenagers to love God and love people. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Pastor Roy from Hosanna Baptist Tabernacle, located in Lemming, Texas at 15 Victory Lane. On March the 29th and 30th, we are having a men's conference called SALT, which means Seeking Adventure Through the Living Trinity. We want to invite you, men, to continue to grow, be stronger in the Word of God, be a better influence in our community, and leaders for your family. It's going to be a great time. During that time, we have some awesome key speakers that are coming. They're very anointed men of God that really can speak and preach. If you have any questions, you can contact me at 830-200-9036. And my email is my last name, Reyna, R-E-Y-N-A, at yahoo.com.
Why do you enjoy Fortress Church?
Hi, my name is Peter Carrillo, and I love Fortress Church because there's so many, many opportunities to connect, grow, and serve. One of those opportunities to grow is by listening to Rising Higher every day at 5:30 on 1100 K-Drive.
Hi, I'm Nichelle Cunningham, and I love Fortress Church because of the opportunity it gives me to grow spiritually and be able to be impactful in young girls' lives.
Hi, my name's April Saldivar, and I've been at Fortress Church for 20 years. So I have become part of this church family, have connected with so many people. This has helped me to grow from sitting on the pews to attending a class to now teaching one. So I have loved being there and seeing myself grow spiritually. And also what we have learned at Fortress Church is to love God and love people.
Are you looking for a church family? Come on by and join us. We as a family, we come together to worship every Sunday at 9:15 and 11 o'clock. Feel free to check us out on the web at fortresschurch.org.
Hi, this is Josh Davis, Olympic gold medalist, and I'm challenging you to remember that God is more concerned with your character than your earthly success. And I'm glad you're developing your character by listening to Rising Higher on AM 1100 K-Drive.
Well, in John chapter 4, we read that Jesus has a conversation with a woman, and a Samaritan woman, and it is there that he talks about this principle of in spirit and in truth. And this is how we are to worship. And as we tie the New Testament words of Jesus in John 4 with the Old Testament instructions that God gives Moses and the Israelites about building a tabernacle, we see a beautiful picture of what in spirit and in truth looks like. So let's talk about that. The first item that we started talking about, we're going to develop this, that is in the outer court. Remember, the tabernacle that God instructs Moses and the Israelites to build has three sections: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. In the outer court was the brazen altar, the bronze altar. And it is there that the altar is a representation. It is a foreshadow of the cross. Now, little did they realize that the Israelites, that when they were to bring their sacrificial lamb to the temple, to the tabernacle, as a sacrifice, little did they realize that it would be the Son of God, who years later would give his life on the cross of Calvary and become the ultimate sacrificial lamb. So why in the world would they need to cut a lamb? I know that sounds gross, to literally kill and sacrifice an animal. What is the significance? The significance is the blood. Because as we look at the blood that Jesus Christ shed, what did the blood do in Jesus Christ? The ultimate sacrificial lamb gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Let me just give you a few things about the power of the blood. The blood redeems. The blood atones. In other words, forgives your sins. The blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary cleanses. It sanctifies. It consecrates. The blood results in receiving the mercy and grace of God. The blood gives life. In other words, because Jesus Christ gave his blood, you and I can receive life and life eternal. At the brazen altar, when atonement for the sins of the people were done, you know what Moses would do? He would sprinkle the blood upon the people. And that was a symbolism that their sins were forgiven. Today, we have the privilege of just asking Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior and accepting his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and our eternity is literally changed. The brazen altar in the Old Testament outer court was also a place where the offerings were brought before the Lord. There was, and you can read about this, I'm not going to read about them right now, in Leviticus chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We are to bring the burnt offering. This signifies that we are to allow God to burn up what we have with his fire. See, because once the fire of God hits, it destroys everything that is bad and it purifies that which is good. Secondly, there's the grain offering, and it represents the life of Jesus Christ. Then there's a fellowship offering, or sometimes referred to as a peace offering, where our fellowship with God is restored. Then number four, there's the sin offering, and that was offered to the Lord because of our sinful nature. And then last of all, there was a guilt offering that was presented, and this was done to make atonement for specific sins. In other words, we're saying, Lord, I repent. Forgive me of these specific sins that I have committed. So what is the purpose of this brazen altar? Well, once again, it was a foreshadow of what God would do when he would send his son as the ultimate sacrificial lamb. That's all we needed. But once again, we see a picture in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, of humanity meeting with divinity. God coming from heaven to earth. We here, the humanity, are building a place where we can dwell in the presence of God. Have you made your heart a place where you can dwell, where the presence of God can dwell? So we see the beauty of what God has done. Now, one of the things that we see in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle is the Ark of the Covenant, and that is a picture of the presence of God. Now, in the Ark of the Covenant, God instructs Moses and the Israelites to place three items in there. First, there is the tablets of the law. Number two, the golden pot of manna. Number three, Aaron's staff. And there's a whole lot of significance in each of these three items. And we're going to talk about them more a little bit later, but for the beginning portions, I want us to understand the significance of Aaron's rod, a wood rod. What was that all about? Because there's a beautiful correlation to this brazen altar. You see, if you take a few minutes and read Numbers chapter 17, you read a story of what's oftentimes referred to as the Korah incident. The men of Korah question the authority of leadership, and they end up being severely condemned and judged because they failed to respect leadership. They contested the authority that God had placed in the house. And this is how God proved himself. One man from each of the tribes was to write his name on a staff, a wood staff, and Moses was directed to place each of these 12 staffs in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony, in front of the ark of the presence of God. So on Levi's rod, Levi was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, Aaron's name was written. Now, the staff belonging to the man I choose, God says, will sprout up, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling. In other words, God says, I'm going to do a miracle, and I'm going to tell you who you need to look to. So each of you who are complaining, you put a rod in front of my presence. And then overnight, let's see what happens. So the next morning, what happens? There was one rod out of those 12 that budded, blossomed, and bore fruit. And of course, that was Aaron's rod. What was the significance of that? Well, the significance is this. That which was dead, remember, a piece of wood, it's dead. You cut a piece off of a wood off of a tree, it's dead. no longer growing, no life, no sustenance. But somehow, some way, a miracle happened that one out of those 12 pieces of wood began to grow. It budded, it blossomed, and it bore fruit. Now, we see it had to be God. It had to be a miracle. So Aaron's rod here that we read about, right in front of the tabernacle, represented Christ Jesus. It represented, I'm going to say, even the triune nature of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because Aaron's rod budded, blossomed, and bore fruit. The bud represents the Father because he is the beginning. The blossom represents the Son who was crushed but came to life. And then bore fruit, that's the Holy Spirit because he brings fruitfulness to our lives even today. The blossom is a bud revealed. Christ is God revealed. In order to get the fruit, the blossom has to die. When the blossom dies, the fruit comes forth. Wow. Do you realize that? In other words, for the Holy Spirit to rule and reign supreme as we experience him today, the blossom had to die. Jesus had to die. And then he ascended into heaven. And guess what? God was able to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come with us. So Aaron was in the Old Testament what Christ Jesus was in the New Testament, the high priest. In fact, Paul says this in Colossians 2:9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have given the fullness of Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of how the wood, the natural wood, came from death to life. That kind of reminds me of Jesus Christ, because he is a great combination of wood, man, and gold, God. See, when Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, he was not 50% man and 50% God. No, he was fully man and fully God. You see, maybe I can put it to you this way. He's wood enough to be related to us, but he's gold enough to redeem us. He's wood enough to be tempted, but he's gold enough to be perfect and resist temptation. He's wood enough to weep at the tomb of Lazarus, but he's gold enough to raise Lazarus from the dead. He's wood enough to bleed when the soldiers whipped him, but he's gold enough to love them. He's wood enough to die, but he's gold enough to rise again. He's wood enough to identify with your pain and mine, but he's gold enough to heal it. He's wood enough to identify with your hurt and mine, but he's gold enough to take us in his arms and comfort us. That, my friend, is a result of humanity and divinity coming together because God wants to have a relationship with you in spirit and in truth. Time has gone by. Join us tomorrow as we continue this topic, Tent of Meeting, part of our series, In Spirit and in Truth. And always remember, worship is a lifestyle.